the 16th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. I'm Temma Frank, your host. Before I go further, I'd like to thank IBM Canada for sponsoring this show. I've had many careers during my life. One of them was as a freelance journalist, and the first article that I wrote was for Profit magazine. I had just finished doing an MBA, and it seemed to me that all successful entrepreneurs understand marketing at a gut level, but what they didn't know was the jargon. So my first article was a quiz that was aimed at teaching them the marketing jargon that I had learned in my MBA program. Well, this episode of the show is partly about demystifying jargon. You see, there's a lot of unnecessary jargon in the web world. When everyone started talking about Web 2.0 a few years back, it wasn't really anything different from the original internet, except that websites started putting a little more emphasis on two-way communication, but the ability to do it had already been there. Social media has also existed since the early days of the internet. I built a database of 75,000 mystery shoppers worldwide using social media techniques long before the term or anything like Facebook or Twitter was invented. Next came SaaS, Software as a Service. That's basically pretty much what we now call cloud computing. Instead of having your own equipment and software, you rent it. Now, there's a little more to it than that, and in this episode, we'll learn a little bit more about cloud computing and its subtleties. We'll learn about its advantages and drawbacks for small and mid-sized businesses. We also talked about why Canadian companies are hesitant to invest in technology, and a little bit about other things like government policies. I'll chat with you after the interview.
I suspect that cloud computing is one of those jargony terms that an awful lot of business people don't even really know what it means. So maybe if we could start with you just telling us what it does mean.
Yeah, basically, in its most simplest form, it simply means online computing. So, you know, so rather than running computers like we used to do, where you'd have them, you know, in your office, and you'd go and buy them, you would go and install all the software, you would run them, or you'd pay an IT guy to do it, you know, now you can run it online. It's a continuation of the internet, you know. So, you know, before we had the internet, all of our computers were offline, and we had them in our own offices, but they didn't speak to one another. And then, you know, the internet connected them together, and there's just been an ongoing shift of computing up into the network, out of the office. So that's the trend in its simplest form.
I've heard that cloud computing is not taking off as quickly in Canada as in other countries. Why would that be?
Well, first, I'm not sure if that's actually true. I think it's probably, you know, it's being adopted here, you know, similarly as it is in many other countries. It's definitely an industry, as you've experienced, you know, there's a lot of hype. And so you tend to get very polarized views, you know, either everybody's using it and everybody's left behind, or nobody's using it, depending on whoever's trying to sell a particular story. But in general, you know, we're seeing a pretty constant rate of adoption globally. Canada faces more challenges, perhaps, say, with regards to resistance to technology in general. So there's a lack of, for example, and this is even before you look at cloud computing, you know, there is lower adoptions of e-commerce by merchants. So, you know, there was a great story last year in the newspaper, in the Globe and Mail, about how, you know, the Canadian consumers are very active. You know, they're buying lots of stuff online, but they're buying it from American firms, you know, and they're having it shipped over the border because Canadian businesses haven't yet, you know, embraced e-commerce as much as they could. So I think it's probably more that there's less appetite for technology as a whole, rather than specifically an issue with regards to adoption of cloud computing.
Hmm. Do you have any idea, just from your own experience, why that might be, why Canadian companies are more reluctant to adopt technology?
I think it's probably a mix of factors. I think there's obviously a huge overriding factor, which is that the country is very resource focused. So you know, there's historically industries are based on mining and forestry. So there's simply never has been as much need for technology in businesses, you know, for them to be competitive, you know, in the trades that they are in. So I think hand in hand with that, the government hasn't been as proactive or advanced with their policies that would stimulate technology innovation as they could be. Certainly, when you compare the relevant policies to America or to UK, you know, the government's lagging a bit in terms of, you know, policies that will encourage adoption.
What sort of policies from the government would make us more comparable to other countries?
Well, specifically a digital economy policy. So it's been noted for quite some time now, a good 2 or 3 years, that Canada doesn't have one. You know, many other countries are very progressive in putting those kind of policies out there, because they know it acts as, you know, a great stimulant. So they set, you know, the agenda for broadband, they set agenda for, you know, online currency and payments and e-commerce and all those component parts of what we're seeing as being the modern digital economy. So I think without one, they're not helping the country a lot, you know, kind of catch up in those areas.
From a government and regulatory perspective, one of the concerns that some Canadian companies have is if they allow their data to be stored in the cloud, what are the impacts of things like the U.S. Patriot Act, which, as I understand it, means that if your data is stored somewhere in the U.S., the U.S. government has the right to go in and look at it.
Absolutely. I mean, those are absolutely very valid concerns, as are issues like downtime. So there was obviously a lot of press last year about Amazon having outages.
Yeah.
And so the first thing to highlight about technology is it's not a magical technology, you know, nothing is. A key part of your use of technology is to have strategies to identify those risks, you know, because they're not unique to cloud computing. You know, technology comes with a risk. A simple example being that, you know, very recently the federal government had a massive data breach where they lost 500,000 names and addresses of consumers, but that was from, you know, a USB key. So,
yeah.
So it's not one technology is inherently more or less secure than another, you know, whether it's on the cloud or whether it's on a USB key. If you're not following proper procedures and best practices, you're putting your organization at risk. So whether you're storing it in Amazon or storing it on a key fob, there's technologies you can use like encryption. There's best practices you can use with those technologies to make sure that they're being done properly. Just generally being safe with your information, no matter where it is stored, you know, is the best policy.
How can a company determine whether, if they're thinking of taking advantage of some form of cloud service, how can they be sure that that company has actually got proper security procedures in place?
Well, basically, there's an increasing growth in the industry around a field of called cloud audit.
Okay.
It's one that I'm very actively involved in. So we're seeing the emergence of best practices for cloud providers to publish certifications and documentations that document exactly what measures they're taking. You can be audited by third parties and so on and so forth. So that's really the next big wave we'll see in the cloud field. We'll increasingly see menu of options. So you'll have a different variety of different levels of service.
Right.
So we'll see that as the next big trend. Basically, look for cloud providers that are proactively getting involved in those processes, because it means they've got the confidence to be transparent and publish in a certifiable, auditable manner.
Can you give me examples of some of the types of cloud computing being done by small and mid-sized Canadian businesses?
If you wanted to kind of communicate the business value of cloud computing in its simplest form and in its most valuable form, is to look at, you know, how new entrepreneurs are using it. And the most important thing about cloud computing is that it's lowering the barriers to entry to entrepreneurism in general. It's now cheaper and easier and faster to launch an online business than it's ever been, and it's a magnitude faster. There's a number of Canadian entrepreneurs who are exploiting that trend. For example, a company called Future State IT here in Toronto uses the Amazon Cloud to provide a service for auditing IT environments so that you can check for, you know, out-of-date software and upgrade your software and that type of thing. So they've been able to do that as an online service far cheaper and far quicker than they ever could before.
Mm-hmm.
They reckoned it was about 10% of the cost of what it would have.
Wow.
They done it via a traditional IT approach.
What about the risk that, and I know a lot of companies have this fear, that if you sign up with some kind of a cloud software service, what if that company goes under?
Again, it's not a magical technology. There's no inherent guarantees from risk simply by using it, and you need to be prudent in your own procedures for buying services, because there are now, you know, a multitude of online providers.
Yep.
And it could be literally one option is coming from, you know, a tiny startup that has 2 or 3 people and are running a small venture in their own data center,
right
through to Amazon, you know, who does billions of dollars of revenues. They're all considered cloud companies, but clearly they're really the either ends of a spectrum. So
right.
You need to be diligent in your own procurement to assess and identify, like you would for buying any type of service. You know, if you're buying a service from a supplier, you know, it's always prudent for you to do due diligence on those suppliers to understand who they are and what they do and what their profile is as an organization. And if they are, you know, a very small new startup, with only two people and not necessarily great, you know, revenues, they would obviously be a much more high risk than, you know, Amazon, who you know to be, you know, a massive corporation. So those common sense facts are still applicable to cloud services.
Okay. My impression is that for slightly larger companies, not for the startups, but for those that have been around for a while, one of the challenges is they're tied into existing legacy systems. Is that a barrier?
That's exactly correct. You've really hit a nail on the head there as being a very topical and very much, you know, a root issue, a big backbone issue for the larger organizations. That's exactly the principal challenge they face. So the larger organizations, the governments and the big companies, they've got IT that goes back to the 60s. You know, they're still running mainframes. They're still running the old Unix systems that run most of their core business processes. Interestingly, what that means, though, is that presents opportunity, and that'll be where we see one of the big growth trends. Another big growth area for the cloud industry will be in the migration and modernization of those legacy applications.
I remember working for the banking industry when personal computing was really coming on, and they really, really struggled with that, too, because they had all these hugely expensive legacy systems. And, you still see it with some banks, where their systems internationally just don't talk to one another, and possibly even internally. You see it in a lot of companies, not just banks. So I can see that being a big issue.
Absolutely. And it also means it'll be a massive growth market as well, or various migration, you know, practices, so that they can either connect to these older systems and present them to the web and, you know, and to the cloud via an interface, or you can migrate them entirely. You know, you can simply lift and shift the whole application and move it off of the, you know, the legacy hardware and move it into the cloud.
Neil, you're obviously a big advocate of cloud computing. From your experience, though, what have you seen as being some of the drawbacks to it that people have experienced?
Probably the biggest drawback will be that with the amount of hype and you know, polarized opinions that go around, people can easily be misled. It's difficult for buyers to distinguish what are quality services and what are simply people getting on the bandwagon. There's just so much noise. It can be a bit overwhelming for buyers. It was one of the reasons why, you know, I set up my organization called the Cloud Best Practices Network to help bring together a forum where we could publish case studies and bring existing users in and showcase case studies like these startups, so that people can actually see and start to understand better what all these, you know, different technologies are. It's an industry that's absolutely jam-packed with acronyms up to the ceiling, you know. So I'd say that's the main drawback.
From the perspective of Canadian companies that are thinking of getting into actual e-commerce, are there any particular cloud computing applications that you're aware of that you think would be especially useful to them?
Absolutely. One of the companies I've just started working with is called Sheepdog, and they specialize in the Google Cloud platform. So you've got the giants out there, you know, the main three or four players are Microsoft, Amazon, Salesforce.com, and Google. You know, those are really the kind of cloud giants of the industry. And the Amazon is kind of number one. You know, they've got the bulk share of the market, but they just do kind of like a raw, what they call infrastructure as a service, just the basic hosting, but on a very, very large scale. What Google do is they have much more of a breadth of offering. So they've got all these different component parts within a suite that you can basically pick and choose from and assemble like Lego bricks to build your own online venture. You know, that could be an e-commerce site, for example, is one great example. And it brings into focus, they've got tools for doing what they call big data analysis. So, you know, you can literally take a dump of your data from the legacy systems we were just talking about earlier. So if you're running all of your shops are running some, you know, mainframe-based system, you can take a dump of all that data, upload it into the Google Cloud, and then run the big data analytics so that you can see spending patterns and identify interesting trends about what people are buying. And then you can feed that into the online cloud applications you're running for the e-commerce site so you can do better analysis. Another great venture, again, a Toronto-based one, is a company called the Cloud Search Portal. They're leveraging search technologies so that you can better integrate sophisticated search functions into your e-commerce site where, you know, if you're searching for a particular mobile phone, it can make recommendations as to the peripheral add-ons you might need, you know, the device, you know, value adds and that type of thing. A lot of e-commerce sites are still a little bit kind of, you know, 1.0 and the search function is not very good. You can't find the products you're looking for. So having that as a cloud-based service that you can integrate into the site and add those sophisticated, you know, cross-matching features is another great example of how you can leverage the cloud for e-commerce.
From what I've seen, most of the cloud-based services seem to be, one of the advantages seems to be, you know, you're typically paying monthly and often you are allowed to get out at any time. You're not tied into the kind of long-term contracts that used to be required. Is that standard?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's especially so, I mean, e-commerce is a great example where, you know, if you experience fluctuating demand, so, you know, in the Christmas holidays, you get 90% of your traffic.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge challenge for IT because, you know, what they used to have to do before was simply buy all the servers they would need to cater for that spike,
mm-hmm.
which meant that, you know, for the other 11 months of the year, you've paid for a bunch of servers that are sat doing nothing.
Right.
But yet, you know, if you don't buy enough, then at Christmas time, you can't cope with the spike and you lose all your sales. So what do you do? And the answer to that problem is defines the value of cloud computing, what they call the elastic nature of it. You'll get everything you need for the Christmas rush, and then for the rest of the year, you won't be paying hardly anything.
So then how do those cloud computing companies manage it? Because then they would also experience a huge spike at Christmas time. What do they do the rest of the year?
Well, basically, that's where, you know, that's their business. So, you know, in the case of the big guys, they've made massive investments so that they have all the infrastructure they need. And because they're able to concentrate it across a number of customers, that's how they make their money. You know, so any business model is based on, you know, aggregating demand from multiple customers so that you can do it cheaper than they can do themselves. And you then simply have to have enough customers, you know, to make it profitable. So in the case of the big guys, they can do that. And that's why it's challenging for smaller companies to get into the field, because, you know, you have to be able to offer a minimum level of infrastructure to cope with all those spikes for all those customers. But once you get past a certain point, the facilities that Google runs, for example, and Amazon, they just run ginormous data centers, you know, with millions of servers, so they can cope with it. But they're also generating billions of revenues, you know, billions of dollars of revenue, so they can pay for it too.
Right. Are there other aspects of this that you think would be of interest to small and mid-sized businesses that I haven't thought to ask you about?
Yeah, probably. Just a last point is to emphasize, you know, just leading on from the point about the audit there was, you know, one of the big trends we'll see as part of this next wave will be, you know, a much larger growth of smaller but more sophisticated cloud providers at a local national level. The cloud, although it is this principle of us being, you know, this one ginormous blob of computing out there, we're going to see a much more granular level of expansion of competitive offerings. For smaller companies, it's not necessarily that level of scale that they need. You know, if you're Walmart, then yes, you're going to need a Google level of scale. But if you're a small business, you don't necessarily need that same scale. You probably would value more hands-on local support.
Right.
So we'll also see a growth of smaller cloud providers who are catering more for local as being their niche. For if you're in Canada, look for Canadian cloud hosting providers. They run data centers here in Canada and they offer cloud services as well. They'll be much more flexible, much more hands-on, and they'll be able to tailor and customize managed services for you that are probably better suited to your needs. And most importantly, you know, they're here at the end of a phone and at the end of the street for you. Pay attention to that as well, because again, it's not a magical technology. So you're still likely going to need, you know, some IT professionals that are going to help you with migration, with technical support, and that's not necessarily the strength of the big guys.
You've mentioned several companies in Toronto. Is there anything happening elsewhere in the country, or is it pretty much all there, almost all there?
See, it's all over. Sheepdog, who I mentioned, is Nova Scotian-based.
Ah, cool.
Rackforce, they're out west. So they're out on the West Coast. There's cloud innovations happening all across Canada.
Anything else?
We've got a couple of events coming up. We organize a regular schedule of meetups that I'm just starting. We've got one coming up on the 21st in Toronto that's going to focus on e-health. And we're also doing one for small businesses as well. So folks might be interested in checking that out.
And where can they go to get more information on those?
At canadacloud.net.
Okay, so one bit of jargon that I didn't mention before the interview started was the term big data. It's another one that you hear a lot these days. Again, like all these other terms, it's not really anything all that new. Companies like the credit card companies have been using massive databases built from your shopping patterns for years and merging that with demographic data. What's new is mainly that now it's easier to do and that they can access data from more different sources. And so can you. Most exciting about cloud computing is that it lowers the costs of using information technology. That's especially important for new ventures. You can now test out an idea for a couple of months, and if it doesn't work, not too much is lost. Likewise, even if yours isn't a new venture, you can test out a service for a little while, and again, if it doesn't work, no great loss. So that's a really wonderful thing as more things are moving into the so-called cloud. but it does come with risks. Cloud or no, you have to do due diligence on potential suppliers. Are they likely to be there for you in the long run? Do they offer the support services and handholding that you'll probably need? Will their offerings scale as your business grows? Do they have proper security policies in place? Do you have proper security policies in place? You need to think about these things, whether or not you're using cloud-based services. I hope that this episode helped you get past the jargon fear factor so that you'll feel comfortable as you investigate the products and services that you need to have an effective presence online, whether those services are in the cloud or not. I will talk to you next week.